At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and your tushies do too. Huggies Little Movers is their best-fitting diaper ever with its curved and stretchy fit. Babies, no matter what kind of butt you've got, you'll feel comfy while your mushy little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers are curved with up to 12-hour protection against leaks. Get your baby butt in Huggies' best-fitting diaper, Huggies Little Movers. We got you, baby.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, my name is James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Wissman.
Please join us every single Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
So fun.
You like sports?
You don't have to.
Let's just set up a context and find out what an idiot did wrong.
What do you say? I'm in.
We're going to do that each and every week. We take an athlete, we break him down, we make fun of everything he's ever done.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to build up and tell you all about their career and get you to what, James?
To grace. And then watch them fall from grace.
Who doesn't
like that? As they inevitably do. Join us. Big criminals, small criminals, sports you've never heard of, doesn't matter. It's the crime, it's the comedy, it's such a good time. Join us every Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
You can join us every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on all Apple products.
Find us every Tuesday and laugh at people.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for doing what you do. We love you over here at CarCast. We love talking to all our car people, and we do all our events, and we see everybody over there, and they're like, hey, listen to the show. Good. Share it with a friend. We're car people. We got a lot coming up, right, Matt? The Motorator D'Andrea?
Yeah, we do. Always toward the end of the year, there's all kinds of good stuff going on. There's all kinds of events and shows and SEMA. And then we didn't even touch on any type of like LA Auto Show planning or any of that stuff yet. But there's always a lot going on at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, couple things. In terms of where we're going to be, we'll be at the Optima Batteries booth on Tuesday, October 31st at 3:30.
At the SEMA show.
That'll be at SEMA.
Yeah. We are hopefully
going to be at COTA doing a real Trans Am race the following weekend, around the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, whatever it is, of the following week. The beginning of November, we'll be down at COTA doing a real race. Theoretically, so you can come say hi.
We're very close. We haven't signed anything yet, but we're very close.
Very close to that. I'll be driving the same Corvette, God willing, so you can come say hi. A lot more turns, so we're going to have to figure that track out a little bit.
Also, that weekend's a big vintage race, so it's cool to come out and like see everything that's going on, right?
Everything's going on, right. I just got to blow in a call to our good friend, Bodie Stroud, over there, who has a car that's not a car that we never really talk about, which is a Hino truck.
Yeah.
The Hino is a transport. The Hino is the first Hino brought to the United States.
Yeah.
I believe
like,
it's...
You got to kind of describe what it looks like, right? It's kind of like... I mean...
It looks like a big cube truck.
Yeah. Kind of like a U-Haul, but...
Yeah. Kind of like a U-Haul, but with the flat front cab.
Yeah.
And I think it's right-hand drive, and the legend has it, and I don't know everything about this truck, but Hino, I don't know, is Hino one of the biggest truck manufacturers in the world?
So I think they're owned by another company now, which is weird, because I think Hino had an association. We can look this up, but I think Hino had an association with like Nissan back in the day, but now they may be owned by like Toyota.
Right.
Right. Which makes it weird.
Of Toyota.
Yeah. Okay. So,
which makes it weird because you're talking about an old Hino and putting like a Datsun Roadster in it, but now the Hino is owned by Toyota.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. And this suffer is not that funny. So the Hino was brought here, allegedly, the first Hino truck brought to the United States. I think it probably had a little, you know, a diesel four banger or something in it, as the Japanese trucks and vehicles would have. Max Belchowski, the legendary Max Belchowski, was like a big engine swap king. Like, you'd bring your car to him and he'd shoehorn a big Cadillac V8 into it or something.
But wacky. He was kind of like a George Barris in a sense, right? Era.
I think Max Belchowski built all the old Yellers too. So he built scratch race cars. I think part of his deal was like, I think a celebrity would get like an MG, you know, 60s or 50s era sports car, and they'd bring it over to his shop and he'd put a V8 in it. Was that Max's thing? It was a pretty legendary.
But I remember him being like a V8 swap guy, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was his thing. So
he wasn't building monster Miatas in the day, though.
No, he put a V8, like a big Cadillac, big block.
Yeah.
Into this Hino.
Is it Cadillac or Oldsmobile?
I think it's Cadillac.
Okay.
And because the old Yeller, I think, has a Cadillac engine, or then maybe a Pontiac or something after that. But anyway, it wasn't small block Chevys.
Right.
He picked weird engines and put them in different things. And so we put this big Caddy engine in the car. And then the car, or the truck, the Hino truck, which, looks like a U-Haul cube truck.
Yeah, but old school, flat nose. You know, it's a cube truck that you can put a car in.
Is it right-hand drive, too?
Yes.
Which, actually, I didn't even remember that it was not right-hand drive. But now that you mention it, that's a cool thing.
I said it 2.5 times in the last
I was probably reading.
4 minutes.
It was reading notes.
Look, you can multitask. So here's the deal. Then the car, the truck, was used to transport the BRE. We're looking at an old picture of it right now. Was used to transport. It had orange stripes in the front?
I can't tell if they're orange or more red. It's an old picture. We saw this before. Mm-hmm. But it has like two like Shelby stripes, like racing stripes in the front, which I don't – obviously the truck didn't come that way. Somebody added that.
It was used to transport the BRE race car. You can find other pictures, maybe, Max Pata. The Roadster around from race to race. The Roadster's a fairly small car, and it would literally just drive it up ramps into the back of the big cube, and you would go.
Yeah.
And
that's like some Knight Rider stuff right there.
You have to do it while you're moving.
While you're moving. You got to do it on the freeway.
I have the Roadster. I've driven the Roadster. I drove it at Laguna Seca. That's the one I got the Rolex Cup with, actually. Yeah. Really nice, cool piece. Roadster, Datsun Roadster. I have the Roadster. I bought the truck. The truck sat over at Les's shop for years. And eventually, I just got the thing over to our good friend over at Bodie's shop.
Yeah, just literally had to drag it out of the mud.
So I said to Bodie, let's just do it up and let's make like, you know, put a crate LS whatever.
Yeah, it's got
like an
LS3 in it, which is great.
And let's like just do it. Like new, you know, do the brakes, do the suspension, like just let's make it. But I said, let's get some air conditioning going, and let's like get like a sound system going, and let's make it into a little bit of a party bus, you know, like let's make it into something cool. Because the inside of the unit is just like a big room, just a big square room. It's fairly, we're looking at pictures of it now. It's good to see these old pictures with the BRE and all the stuff along the side of it. There's a picture of the 46 John Morton 510 that's in front of the BRE Hino, which looks to me like a white cab with probably two red stripes on it, and then aluminum or silver in as far as the bed goes, as far as the actual cube goes, and then it looks like the back door is white, probably with BRE. We'll probably have to try to figure this one out. But it's a picture of all the gang standing in front. So we thought, okay, race transporters are starting to become their own category.
Yeah.
They're...
Oh, we saw some pretty big dollars go for, you know, for the snake and mongoose transporters at Bear Jackson a few years ago.
Yeah, as usual, urine, push rod, iron block, iron head.
But those were famous transporters.
Blockhead world. I'm in Euro sleek world thinking like the Mercedes one.
Yeah.
That they had. The
Lionel's
one
they, got one.
Yeah, he has a reproduction.
Yeah, with teeth in the front.
The Mercedes one, that the Mercedes transport was like bespoke. You know, it wasn't like a Hino that they put a sticker on. It was like they built that thing to pull the gull wings around.
Yeah.
Those things are pieces of art and into the millions of dollars. The Ferrari ones, like the Mercedes Aston Martin, the European 50s and 60s transports from back in the day, those things got to be really expensive now. And so it's kind of a thing where if you have the car from back in the day, it's kind of cool to have the truck that took it around the country and made you the money. We're looking at another picture of it. And the thing that's cool about the Hino is it's got this big cab, and then it is – you can go to carcastshow.com to see these pictures. It's got this cool cab in the front and this big box in the back, and now I feel like the cab doesn't have a back. I feel like it's open from the cab.
That's what I was going to ask. Did we make some sort of port that goes in between, or – how did that work?
We got to look at it. I feel like you can. I feel like it's open, but I'm not. We'll work it out.
Like with two doors or like a tube? Because I think of those tubes like an ET when they're.
We got
all the guys in this like the hazmat suits were trying to get to ET.
We got to work it out. But the point is Bodie's putting a modern motor in it, modern cooling and air conditioning and everything
transmission
else.
Transmission and
radiator and everything else. 400 transmission, everything else. I want to put a killer sound system in it, and I want to make it into like kind of the party hang mobile. Like if we go to Laguna Seca, put the car in there, get the dudes, drive it up there, and then when we get there and unload, open that they have the doors open in the back.
Yeah,
they just flop, you know, they hinge open, but there's one big side door that opens too, and you could open that.
Yeah, maybe we can get some sort of awning for the side to
get an awning, get the sound system going, get the cooler and everything. Yeah,
have a couple cocktails.
Yeah, have a nice party. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but no margaritas before four.
No, five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Poor Vic
Edelbrock.
Rest in peace, buddy.
Rest in peace, man.
I hope he buried him with his blunder.
He had a good run, though, didn't he?
He did.
All right. So Max Pata, who did a gay party bus when he was 19, where he took like 23 dudes all around the country in a school bus.
Yeah. Oh, it was a wild time.
They all slept in a 69 position.
It's the best way to save room and get the most surface area on the floor.
But you got a soft spot in your heart for the party wagon, right?
Oh my God! Absolutely. I think about that trip every day. Like
it's gonna bring back loving
it'd be
memories.
Fun getting in that Hino and going up to Laguna Seca and parking that thing at the race, right?
Yeah, I'm no longer driving in any Rolls Royce that Matt brings. I'm
right?
riding the Hino.
Jesus,
up.
I would sit in the seat of the race car and drink a beer while we're going down there. That's what I would do. But. Definitely put the harness on. You know what I mean?
Course.
Play it safe.
Yeah.
Buckle up. So, I have a soft spot in my heart, too, because I used to be half owner of a 64 Cadillac limo, and we would just pile people into that thing and take it to, like, Palm Springs and San Francisco and Santa Barbara. And it was like, there's something – there's nothing better than a road trip if, like, you're a dude and – hopping in the car with some beers and get in and having a little room to spread out.
Yeah, gotta get a couple
the
putties.
Tunes. Good times. All right, so we
be
need
cool. what's the ETA on that before we wrap that
the
up?
The thing's pretty close to done. The question is, I'll tell you what the question is, and then you tell me how we do this.
Yeah.
Okay. First, I'll tell you about Fresh and Lean. Oh, man. You want to perform your best physically and mentally? How about we give our bodies the proper fuel? Fresh and Lean. It's a healthy meal delivery service established in 2010, making meals to order from scratch with organic ingredients. The meals James over at the other shop, not builder James, not James who builds, but James who works on these docks with us, he has been using this since before they were sponsors. And I used to say to him, like, how's that work? And, you know, they send it to you and you pop it in the microwave. He'd bring it into work. And the stuff was good. I said, is it good? He said, yeah, it's really good. It's healthy. They're vacuum sealed trays delivered in refrigerated boxes anywhere in the U.S. No prep, no shopping, no cooking, no cleaning up. Except for me, because then James throws the tray into the trash, and then I have to clean the trash.
Well, of course. I mean?
But not for you. Takes meals anywhere in a freezable lunch bag, so you can do that. And you can get 15% off the meal plans. Check it out. Freshandlean.com/carcast. Use a promo code CARCAST. Get 15%. Like I said, I've been seeing these things and smelling these things for months in my other shop.
I like the idea because I'm like, I'm good for like a good steak dinner, but other than that, I don't want to think about it.
Well,
like food which is there, I'm in.
They go to Fresh and Lean. That's just an N, freshandlean.com/carcast, and use that promo code CARCAST. Get 15% off your meal plan. All right. So Bodie wants to know, what color do we paint the side of the thing? The cab's already white. And looking from the pictures, it looks silver now, right?
It looked like it was just aluminum, just whatever
Right.
You know, but I don't know. Just
strip it and clear it?
Or just shoot it all white? Shoot it all white. We can put graphics on it if we want to. We can put some stickers on it.
Yeah, but I don't know. Don't we want to have an eye toward history here? No. Okay.
Yeah, there's something about like having it really crazy awesome on the inside and, you know, just being...
Just all white.
Subdued on
Need
the
to say not for hire on the door.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's nothing at the track that even looks remotely close to this.
I think
so
you're just leaving money on the table if you write not for hire on the door.
We're gonna do that. And all right, so it's silver. It looks like it's aluminum in the picture. Well,
I mean, what condition is the aluminum? Does it look good? I mean, if he just left it all raw.
See if you can find other pictures as well, and we'll see how it is aluminum. I think if you do aluminum. The other thing is he wants to know, what kind of air conditioning do we want? Do we want like an RV style?
Oh, so the cab has normal air in it because we want something in the back. Like
we
a
would
separate...
put cab, we'd put normal air in cab.
Right.
The question is do you want to run air while you're just sitting at the track? And then you'd have to put a unit, like, on the roof, I guess, right?
Do we bring a generator?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Then how do you fire that whole thing up? I would say...
But the generator can just, like, pull out and put on the other side of the truck. Like, if the door is open on one side, the generator's on the other side. Like, everybody does at the track.
Yeah.
That has, like a trailer that they tow.
It got painted white at some point, but it must have been silver for a long time.
The pictures are weird because the bottom looks like a pontoon boat with a tire...
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like really tucked in.
Yeah.
The tire. Like it was supposed to be like a dually axle, but
right.
Part of it's missing.
Yeah, it's kind of funky, but it's kind of cool. And, it's so ugly, it's funky, and then that makes it cool. And then the other, so I would probably say, let's just put the air in the cab for now. We can put the RV style thing on at some later date if we want. Would you?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Just do it now.
Well,
just have them do it.
Yeah, but what do you? I'm trying to think. You want the unit on the roof?
It's on the roof. There's probably some low profile versions for you know, like you said, for RVs or for trailers,
right?
That are.
And then how do you plummet? Because there is no hollow anything.
No, just on the roof. There's probably just the unit, and then it just blows through the unit. Like if you had like
No. I'm not insane. I understand that. What I'm saying is you got to run wires and you run like rigid, like you got to run conduit on the bottom side up just against the roof and then come down the side and get to where? Like come out, stub out so you can plug into a generator somewhere.
Or a bulkhead fitting of some sort, like a bulkhead fitting toward the side or the back of the trailer. And then we plug in a cable and a generator.
Yeah.
Like the generator just sits whatever
all right.
in the truck. And
we'll figure it out. All right. Questions. So let's see. The 935 is on its way to New York.
Yeah. This is kind of cool, though. I like this idea. So, you know, we've been talking a bit about the Paul Newman watch that is going up for auction. Phillips is the auction house. It's going to be in New York at their office slash gallery. And what did we say? It was like 57th and...
It's in Manhattan, and yeah. I can't remember where he said it was.
But the Philips Watches website, I think, has the address for it. So what they're going to do is they're going to display the Paul Newman 935 along with the watch at the auction. But ahead of time, starting, I believe, on the 18th of this month, you can go to the Philips gallery. Mm-hmm. And you could see the car and, I guess, the other pieces, maybe the watches and stuff. And we've been working with them on getting the car displayed there. But these guys do collectibles, right? So they don't – they've never done a car. It's always watches and things like that. So they had to, like, build stuff. They had to, like, reconfigure their gallery or build stuff to get a car in there. So there's some construction involved and whatnot. So because of that investment, we agreed to – have the car on display starting the 18th, and the auction is on the 26th of October. But I think you can go and check it out. You know? But by the way, like, if you're on the East Coast or you're in New York or whatever and you want to see the car, because we very rarely, pretty much never, get out there for a race. It's just a lot of work. It's a lot of traveling.
Right.
But this is a chance to go see the car.
Agreed.
And if you go, by the way, we'd love to see your photos. If you can get photos of the car or the watch and the car together – tweet us some photos. Send us some photos through the website. That'd be fantastic.
It's 450 Park Avenue, New York.
Yeah.
All right. So uptown, man. Check that out.
Buy the watch.
Buy the watch.
Yeah. Could be, you know.
You could get it for as little as, I don't know. What do you think the low end estimate is on that watch?
$5 million.
But it's got a wristband, too. It's not just a watch.
Apparently, it works flawlessly.
And it works as well. And that was Newman's watch. His wife got him. He wore it from, like, 68 to, like, 84 or something like that, 82.
Yeah.
Other things we're getting into is taking apart my 300ZX 94 car, tube-frame. You know, car I don't fit into, and trying to figure out if which car it is and what it did. And there's this horrific accident where Johnny O'Connell hit Steve Millen.
And they were teammates. They're basically the same cars.
They're in the same cars, and they destroyed both cars. And we're thinking that one of the cars maybe my car, because I think when Steve Millen saw it, he was like, oh, that's the car I broke my neck in at Atlanta or wherever they were.
But he was here, though, and he said, oh, I think that could be chassis number 7. And then last night, I watched a video of him in Monterey from like 2 years ago when he had his turbo version of the car there. And it was like a piece that was produced with like interviewing him and then showing him footage. And whoever narrated said that the turbo car he's driving was chassis 7.
Yeah, is chassis 7, and this is, I think, chassis 8.
Yeah, and I was unclear if there were 7 or 8 total, but I knew the one you had was the last or second to the last.
That was a Clayton Cunningham-built super red, white, and blue Z cars. It just did everything. His car won at Le Mans, it's class. It won at 24 Hours of Daytona. It won at Sebring. I think my car won at Sebring the next year and a couple other races, but then I guess this crash happened. We have to figure it out. But it's you know, whenever you try to drive on a racetrack like in reverse or something, it's always always leads to bad things. And then also some of these bad crashes, it's all just weird timing. You know, it's like somebody needed to get those yellow flags out fast.
Yeah,
there's an accident. Cars crashed, and then they were hit by speeding cars. That's the problem.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out the story on this car that you have. And first of all, Millen's car is the turbo version. Yours is the naturally aspirated version.
I have the only one that has the Infiniti 4.5 V8 fuel-injected car in it. All the other ones were
V6s. It's got individual throttle bodies with velocity stacks. It's badass looking.
They were all cool V6s that had turbo. So the question is that how my car started? And then for 94, they swapped to that engine.
Right.
I think they did. There's a funny there's a bet going on at the other shop.
Yeah.
Which is, we're trying to figure out which car, what happened, was this one damaged?
Between Tom and Sean.
Tom and Sean over at the other shop. And there's a roll tube. On your roll cage, there's the like pillar, the windshield pillar.
The A pillars.
The A pillar on the roll cage. And they just come up and they go up and then they go above your head and then that becomes the
They
top
connect to
part.
A halo and finish the cage.
They connect to a halo and they finish the cage. Now about 6 inches on the way up, there's a clear splice and weld where there's in my mind, there's a repair. Tom's theory is when they were building the car, they ran out of tubing. They ran out of like chromoly tubing. It's like inch and a half, inch and a quarter wide chromoly tubing. His theory is they must have ran out of tubing when they were building the tube frame car. And so they scabbed on another six inches.
Something intentional is his point, right? Like this is
done. My thought and Sean's thought is nobody builds a car at this level, runs out of chromoly tubing and goes, hey, boss, I'm gonna just take a scrap and I'll just tack it on. I'll weld it on to the end. First things first.
Somebody walked over and go, how come the cage isn't done? Well, we ran out of metal.
But we're making more.
Yeah, we got some ordered. We'll just finish that up.
All right. This is the driver's side A-pillar.
Yeah.
There's no way. Here's the deal. When you're doing a cage like this, and I haven't done one, but I'm still going to tell you how it's done.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you if you're right.
You cut all your pieces. You bend all your pieces. You get everything sort of dry done, especially when this is the last car.
Yeah.
Not your first car. You've done a whole bunch of these. This is number 8. You got everything all cut and all bent and all coved out and everything. And then you start assembling the thing. You don't start putting the thing together and go, oh, we're out of tubing. Like we can't finish. Like we're building a deck, but we're out of wood.
Right.
You have everything prefabbed, I would say.
Yeah.
And so if you see a splice and a weld in the middle of a pillar roll bar, that means they fixed something. Something was broken, something got into an accident, and then they cut it, and they fixed it. Unless there's some fitment thing where you can't get the roof down, you can't get the thing on without you have to do it in two parts or something like that.
I mean, that's the only other thing I can think of would be there was something that it needed to be sort of a two-part deal. And at the time, they weld it. A lot of cages now, there's weird sort of connectors that are very robust and thick and kind of connect together.
But you can remove something to get the transmission out or whatever it is.
Right. Something like that.
Right. I don't think so because there's nothing else
around
the car.
Okay, so you're going with Sean that it's a repair. Something was damaged and they fixed it.
Yes.
And Tom's saying this is the way they did it. For one reason or another, Tom's not necessarily saying this is intentional or they ran out of. He's just saying this was part of the original build, right? That's his.
Tom is saying that.
And
no, he's saying they ran out of material and they extended.
Well, he's trying to create a backstory to make it fun.
He's trying to create a backstory. But he's saying they came up 8 inches short in the tubing department, so they just took another scrap and put it on.
Okay, these guys are going to fight over the details, but we need to sort of take the details out, right? It's either wrecked and repaired or not wrecked.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, we want to get the listeners involved. So follow us on Facebook at CarCast Show. We're going to post all the photos. We'll do a poll. We want to hear your thoughts. We'll read some of the best arguments to help settle this hash between these two guys.
And then how do we get the real answer?
They got $1,000 on the line.
Yeah, this is a big time bet.
Yeah. I'm going to
take this seriously.
Tom was running around yesterday. He's like, you want a steak dinner, Matt? We're going steak. We're getting lobster. Sean's paying for it because I'm as good as one on this one.
This is Tom's idea to put it out there. He told me. He's like, he's so confident.
He's so confident on this one.
I'm
wondering where the grind mark. Where's the grind mark?
I'm not going to say either way. I don't want to chime in yet on what I think it is, but how do we get the answer? Do we reach out to?
I reached out to Millen.
Okay, and maybe Clayton Cunningham.
I called. I don't have his email. I called him. I didn't get an answer. I got to write a second email to Millen because I did my favorite thing is, which is, I wrote the email to Steve Millen, which is, where are the serial numbers on these cars? And is my car the one you were in when you got into the horrible wreck?
He wrote back, new phone, who dis? He's like, who's that?
He wrote back, the cars don't have serial numbers on them.
Okay.
And now, whenever you think to yourself, like, first off, I believe him, but if you want to know if a story's true or not, here's what he then said. Cars don't have a serial number on them. I had to bring my car to Japan in 2001. They wouldn't let it into the country without a serial number, so we had to make a plate and put it on the car. That's how you know there are no serial numbers on the car. When Rob says there's no serial numbers on the car, that doesn't mean anything. And if Ray says there are no serial numbers on the car, that means there are serial numbers on the car. But if Steve Millen says there aren't and we had to make a plate to get it into Japan, that means no serial numbers.
That's it. You believe them. It's done.
So there is no serial numbers.
Okay.
So when I wrote him this email that said serial numbers and where, and was this the car you were in with the bad wreck? He wrote back, no serial numbers.
Okay.
This is how my life works, which is I go, where do you want to eat and what time? And they go, Sizzler, Van Nuys.
Yes.
And then I write back again, and what time?
Oh, my God.
But you never thought this would happen.
All the time drives me
nuts. Never thought this would happen with short emails because there's like, they're asked, you know, there's like two questions and that's all.
What I do is I don't write two questions in paragraph form. I say, I have two questions, and then I bullet point them one and two. I always bullet point them or make them number one and number two.
The numbers help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's how I'm going to have to do it from this point on.
Every time I do it that way. Every time.
So now, tell Matt Fondelier, we might get an answer before the show's over. Go tell Matt Fondelier.
Check your email.
Well, what should we write him? What that accident was from...
93.
What accident? You got to find out where that accident was from. I thought it was Road Atlanta. We'll figure it out. First, I'll tell you about Bluehost, top-rated website provider powering 2 million plus websites. Best tool to build, host, and manage your personal or small business website. Freedom to design your site your way, fully customizable templates and third-party app support. You know what that is, right, Matt?
Yep.
Used to do this for a living.
Yeah.
Simple enough for beginners, powerful enough for advanced users. True reliability, 99.9 uptime guaranteed, and auto updates. Maximum security malware monitoring and protection, and automatic secure WordPress installs. Plus, 24/7 tech support. You want to save 50% when you sign up at Bluehost.com? I'll tell you how right now. Go to Bluehost.com/CarCast. Save 50% off when you sign up at Bluehost.com/CarCast. All right. So that wreck, where do you think it was? Watkins Glen, 1993. Okay. So...
The video, by the way, we should post it. I'll link to it on CarCastShow.com.
Sure.
Looks devastating. And then people are flying out of the way, like other cars are coming in, and guys are like jumping over a wall. The other drivers, it was, you know, it was multiple cars.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I can think of is I was looking at it and I wasn't seeing any flag stations in the couple hundred feet leading up to it, and somebody needed to be waving a yellow flag very vigorously.
Yeah.
It felt like the end of a bullwhip.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when Steve Millen was here, though, he walked around the shop and he looked and he said, that might have been the car I broke my neck in.
Yeah, now
he wasn't proud of it.
Johnny O'Connell, we're on the panel with at Amelia Island, and he's a real nice guy. And I thought, why not get hold of Johnny O'Connell?
Yeah,
and
or John
him?
Morton.
Or John Morton.
Because there was those three drivers.
Johnny, I feel like John, maybe it's just me, but I feel like John is older and has driven so many cars that he's kind of like,
Johnny O'Connell's still driving. He's still out there.
We're going to get hold of Johnny O'Connell. Let him tell Matt to go hit up, or did you? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go hit him and ask him if it's the car he was hidden in at
Watkins Glen in 1993.
And then say, did they rebuild the car and then put a V8 in it the next year?
All right, go check on that. I'm going to tell you about Geico.
Ah.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off the cleaning, you pick up some milk. Now add saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance to your list. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. We need it on the Hino.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Extra money in your pocket.
You got to get it on the Hino and in the Hino.
In the Hino.
The Hino will have a car in it.
If you're sitting in the car, in the race car while the Hino's moving. So go to geico.com, earn extra money in your pocket. It's the most rewarding to-do list you can do today.
All right. Let's see. We got some questions. We sold the Bluebird.
Yes.
For $50,000, $510 to 510 part is the inside joke. Although everyone calls that car a 510.
I don't know why.
It's not a 510. It's a Bluebird. It's right-hand drive. Yeah. It's a really well-built piece. I think it was well-bought and well-sold. I think, first off, that car...
You can't make it for that much.
No.
You and know, the like, build and it's on so well-built.
The build on that car is so good. I just wasn't driving it. And we're also at a point where we're making room for the Hino and lots of other stuff. And we're just thinning out the herd a little bit. And that car, even though it's a great piece, is not part, doesn't fit my collection per se. And I wasn't driving it. So you have it.
Talk about thinning out the herd. We can talk about another car that we're going to be putting up, possibly two cars. And I think it's time the 2001 BMW M3, the supercharged car, you specially ordered it in your Loveline days, lightweight, no moonroof, very cool car. It's got the big brakes on it. I think we're going to put that up for
sale.
We'll
put that up. Yeah, that car has three things that are kind of cool. I ordered it with a 6-speed, although it wasn't exotic back then, paddles or 6-speed, but I ended up with the 6-speed. I got cloth inserts on the seats. I don't know what percentage of those cars have a cloth insert and a moonroof delete. Every one of those cars came with a moonroof.
Yeah.
And the moonroof is weird looking, and it's weight right where you don't want it. And super high up at the top of the car.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say race car to me to have a moonroof. It doesn't say sporting car to have a moonroof. I don't. Sunroof is all right, but you can't really see the sunroof when it's closed. Moonroof just letting everyone know you're not really that much into performance.
Right.
And I didn't ever got it. And I remember like going down to the dealer, and they're like, "Yeah, everyone gets the moonroof." I like the sales pitch of this is what everyone's doing. It's never great for me, because like my whole plan is not, I'd like to do something different than what everyone else is doing.
I mean, you're right. Everyone has the moonroof and leather seats, right?
I don't know how to find it out.
I know you wanted manual seats, and like, we don't even do that. You wanted
I didn't even ask that. But I don't know if there's another one of those. It's an E46 BMW.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another one that has a moonroof delete and cloth insert seats.
Yeah.
I'll be very curious. I don't even know why in 2001 I wanted cloth insert seats, but I just thought this would be different.
Hey, it'd grippy,
be cool.
You know,
it'd be grippy. It's cooler. You know, and it's nice.
It's a cool car. It's
You don't want cloth on the bolster parts on the edges because that starts to come undone.
Yeah.
But the cloth in the middle is fine.
It's cool. It's fast. And when we post some pictures and when we figure out when or where we're going to sell it, we'll let you know. But it's dark blue. It's not black.
Yeah, it'll look black at night. It might look black sometimes in pictures, but it's a midnight blue.
But in the sun,
blue.
You really see it, and it's a midnight blue, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's a cool piece.
It's fast.
All right, so let's see. We got questions here. Matt sent off that email to Millen.
It's been sent.
And we got emails, questions, calls. What do we got, Max Pata?
Oh, we have some emails here. And if you want to write into the show, go to carcastshow.com. Click the contact page and write us whatever you want. We'll read it on air. So this comes from Brandon. And he is looking to get into ride sharing, like Uber, Lyft. So he goes, hi, Adam and Matt. I drive a battery service truck for AAA. It's an adequate job, but certainly no career, and I have to scratch just to stay afloat financially. My plan is to make things better for myself and save up about $5,000 to purchase a ride-shareable vehicle. I'm looking for either a Honda Odyssey or Toyota Sienna, a 2004 and newer, because minivans qualify for the larger group fares, and the abundant interior space will also help me get back to freelance steel gate fabrication and repair.
Yeah. I like this dude.
Yeah. He doesn't mind a lot. I don't mind a lot of driving and truly like welding. Between the two, I believe I will be able to stay busy while making more money and having more fun for it.
Tell him I'll sell him the Hino for $4,900 and he can fit like 40 people into that Hino,
yeah.
Man. He just pull that Hino up like and just throw 80 people into it and go to the airport and make like $17,000.
They all got to be picked up in one spot, though.
Yeah, one spot. And pack them into that Hino. Take them down to the airport. Just stand there. You know what we'll do? We'll take some garden hose and put some like hand grabs on there. We'll take garden hose and we'll like loop it, and I'll tech screw it to the side. And I'll make some like hand grabs so people can hang on.
That's perfect.
Hey Adam, when we had the school bus, we were taking kids to prom. We were making money off that thing.
It got so much creepier.
Sure.
If you were taking old ladies to church, I'd say, "Oh, that's sweet of you." But you were taking kids to prom.
Oh,
that
yeah,
made
we were the prom. We were prom service.
Well, that's a good idea.
So, where is this guy located? Because we might need a fence at some point.
Oh, he didn't. He actually didn't write that down.
No, he didn't write. Because might need a new gate.
Okay, this guy. The Honda Odyssey. That's the weird minivan with the weird rubber on the. Oh no, that's not Odyssey. It's the other one. Okay, yeah. Honda Odyssey versus Toyota.
They're both similar. He's not wondering that. His problem lies here. I've been on track to do this within the next few months. The problem is my current car just broke down, and repairs could zero out my current savings of approximately $1,500. In another 2 weeks, I'll be floating around $2,400, and maybe could borrow $500-$800 from a friend. So he was on track to getting that Odyssey. But so do I wait to take the setback and fix my car now, or go for broke and just buy something that's more my price range now?
I have learned from experience. I just saw Dr. Bruce over here. He bought himself M5.
Yeah.
And
a couple generations ago?
Yeah, back in 99, 2000, back when it was like the most, first off, it had 400 horsepower,
yeah,
which is
400
insane.
Horsepower V8
and
naturally aspirated.
Stick shift, and it was the king of all super sedans back in 1999, 2000. He bought one with over 100,000 miles on it. I was like, how much? Like $8,000. I was like, my thing is like, spend $20,000 and get one with under 50,000 miles or whatever it is, but get it. Spend a little more.
Dr. Bruce is going to call in next week. He's going to ask questions about intake manifold leaks and head gaskets and leaky valve covers or cam covers.
It's expensive. I've done this. When I was sort of done with my carpentry phase of life, where I was like, I was always like, I don't want to drive a truck. I don't want to drive a truck. I had to drive a truck. I don't want to drive a truck. I had to drive. And at some point, I got like to the very end when I met Jimmy, and I was teaching boxing and stuff like that. I was like, all right, I don't need to drive a truck anymore. Like, I'll drive something like a hatchback. And if I have to, I can put my tools in the back, you know, lay out the seat. And I could, if I have to take a couple of 2x4s, I can slide them in between the seats and shut the hatch. But I don't need a truck anymore. And I wanted something. And I always liked the old Toyota Supras, like the first gen. And I was like, first gen Toyota Supra. And I was like, okay, how much are these things like used in good condition? And it was like $5,000. And I was like, I got $2,600.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I'm going to buy the worst one I could possibly find. And I did for like $2,600. And then I proceeded to like change every single part on the car. Like, oh, the clutch is gone. And now the shocks are gone. The brakes are, the engine went. Like, I literally just did every single part on the
car.
Then
it cost you $10,000.
You're right. Easily. Yeah. So stupid. I should have just waited or got a Corolla.
Right. Yeah. So I agree with that. And I would say This guy's issue right now is he's spending money to fix a broken car versus trying to earn more money. And I say, go with whatever you need to do to start earning more money. So maybe get rid of this broken jalopy, sell it to a friend, take that money, put it on a down payment, and get your used minivan, even if you only got to make 6 or 8 payments on it to get by. But at least you can start earning money in your minivan by running for Uber or Lyft. And if that satisfies his work requirements, you know, at least and he gets something that's decent and reliable. Don't get the minivan you got to put 10 grand into, like Adam is saying. Get the nicest one you can afford. And look, if he's doing his Uber thing and he's making a couple of bucks, maybe he can make a couple of payments, you know, maybe make 6 months of payments on it and sell his other thing for $1,200 or whatever to get the down payment on it.
All right.
At least he starts making money, right?
Give us a Mustang update.
The Mustang, I came in this weekend
been working on it,
and we did all the fuel lines and stuff on it, which was good. And then guys from Maximum Motorsports, I'm using all of their suspension pieces, and I put the new K-member in the front, which is all the front suspension stuff and holds the engine in. Got it, hung my plumb bobs, if you saw that on Instagram,
I saw that. Not on Instagram, I saw it.
Well, you came over and you saw it, and got it lined up. It's dead on balls accurate. So if this car doesn't drive straight, it's not because of the suspension I put in. It's definitely an alignment issue, but it looks good. So it's getting there, you know. I'm going to put the control arms on it this weekend and wrap up just tucking away some of the fuel lines. And then it goes back down on the ground, and I think we start bolting on the supercharger. And
any ETAs to when I might get my lift back? Speaking of lift, how about not driving with my lift?
It's a tough one.
No tipping involved over here, boy.
My mom asked me the same thing. When are you going to get your Mustang done? It's like, it only needs like 8 or 10 days of work.
I can't believe my parents are so horrible. My parents are so fucking horrible that when I hear normal parents interacting in normal ways, like your mom going, well, when's your car going to be done? That sounds fantastical to me.
It's not even, yeah, you're not even on Earth.
My mom has never said to me, like, what's going on with the 935? Or, like, she doesn't know what a 935 is. She doesn't know when I own a 935. Yeah. She would never go, like, how many Newman cars do you have?
Yeah.
Like, she would... I could say to my mom, I'm not going to... She could go, let's go to brunch next weekend, and I could go... Not going to be there. Going to be driving Newman's race car, Watkins Glen. And she'd go, all right, well, maybe the weekend after that.
Yeah.
And that would be the end of that. We would never, so, wouldn't be like, what car or what race? Or
she's like a little disappointed because it's inconvenient. You can't do it next weekend because you've got to go make money. But, yeah, so I told mom, it's like, it's 8 or 10 days of work to get everything done. But I work on the weekends and with SEMA and COTA and all these things coming up. I was like, I don't know what that means. 4 months, maybe 2 months. I don't know.
I had a weird thing, which is if anyone's listening, if you're ever thinking about trying, I'm gonna tell you a little fable, and I hope you'll stop trying.
Okay.
Which is my mom and my mom's a weirdo who doesn't show up or do anything, or she lives 4 miles from here. And you'll never see her. You'll never hear her voice. She doesn't like cars. She doesn't like people. I don't know what her thing is, but nobody's ever seen my mom, right? My mom lives
8 years
here.
She lives more than eight years, never seen your mom.
She lives down the street. And it's not like, oh, Matt's leaving right when mom's pulling up. Mom's got the tacos and she's pulling up. Matt's just, she's taillights. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You never seen my mom because she's never been here because she lives 4 miles from here. It's just weird, but all right. This is my family's just fucked up that way. Like, they're weird. I have like whole showrooms full of cars. The other half, they're making documentaries, and there's just nothing. It's a zero.
Yeah.
But you've never seen. Now, you've seen my dad here when he was doing a podcast, but when he was done losing money, you've never seen my dad again. And you've certainly never seen him over at the other cars or anything. But my stepdad likes cars.
Really?
Well, you've never seen him here either, but
no.
He does like cars.
Okay.
I think it's like one of those things where my mom is a conscientious objector, and I don't think he wants to jump to the, you know, he doesn't want to be a Benedict Arnold and go see the cars. You know, he doesn't want to get in
trouble. But also, I've never once heard you say something like, hey, Tom, my mom lives 4 miles away and she's got a flat tire. Can you you know, I'm busy. Can you swing over there real quick? Like that, scenario, anything like that has never come up. Like nobody here has ever met.
Right. But again, she lives 4 miles to my left and my dad lives 6 miles to my right. So why would you ever see these people? But,
well, other than John Stewart and you, are there any other celebrities that she's even aware of? Maybe if they come in, we can just say, hey, guess who's coming in? We got a...
Yeah, John Stewart's ruined for her. But now Jimmy's ruined for her. She used to like the Oscars, too. And I ruined the Oscars for her.
Okay, now.
All right. But my stepdad... My stepdad does like cars, and he's always liked cars. I never had a bunch of cars, but he had like a GTO when I was young.
Yeah,
and all this and that. And he's not a bad guy. He doesn't talk, but he's not really bad. He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy who likes cars. And at some point, when I got in my adulthood, I thought, well, I'd done the Toyota Grand Prix 5 times. My dad's never been to one or knows what it is. I've been to Toyota Grand Prix 5 times. My mom's never been to one or knows what it is, even though they're local. They're local. And then I thought, well, they don't know what it is because I don't even tell them. Like, I can't call my dad and go, hey, I got a new car. When you get down here, bring the beer, old man.
Yeah.
And we'll do a walk around. Like, there's no... You can't do that with my dad. So I just...
Well, Toyota Grand Prix gets a lot of, like, local news. So they never, like, just see you on the news in the morning. We're like, hey, you know,
no.
Carole and these guys
are
running.
Maybe they do. I don't know. The question is always, I don't know, because it's never been...
They never said, hey, we saw you on the news.
But I had a thought a few years back. Why is my stepdad being punished? You know what I mean? Like, he likes cars. He's not officially a Corolla. You know what I mean? He cavorts with the Corollas. He's a Corolla sympathizer, but he's not really a Corolla. He's a normal dude. His family's from Texas. Dad was a builder, you know?
Yeah.
He worked and paid taxes and stuff. He's not a Corolla. Like, he pays taxes. He works.
Why should he suffer?
Yeah. Why should he suffer?
I feel a little bad for him
so,
now.
So, I think I called him about 2 weeks before the Toyota Grand Prix. And, he said something like, anything, what's going on with the cars or something. And I said, I'm going to do the Toyota Grand Prix. I'm going back as the defending celebrity champ.
Yeah.
This time I'll be racing in the celebrity division. And if you'd like to go, I can get you a couple tickets and a laminate or pass.
Anything you want. You want to sit in the bleachers and drink beer, or do you want to come down and meet everybody? Anything
you
want.
You're exclusive.
Sitting in the bleachers drinking beer is another thing that's undoable for any family member of mine.
Just like
but
anything you want. Though,
anything
is what
normal.
You're
but anyway, car guy who's been exiled because you're a Corolla, you don't deserve to be punished. So come down and hang out. I'll get you set up with laminates, whatever you need, parking passes. Bring mom if you like. And then watch me race. And he said, okay. And I said, okay. And I remember thinking, well, that wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
I've never done anything like that with my family before. But all right, good. That's what you call progress. Normally, I have a mode, which is I just don't tell them anything about anything ever. But you know what? Why not? See? There you go.
Yeah.
See you on Saturday. So, 10 days went by, and I got the call, like, on a Thursday or Friday, like, hey, this is stepdad John, can't make it out on Saturday. Like, nothing, he's retired, he doesn't have anything to do but watch my mom rot, but he's like, I can't come Saturday.
Yeah,
it doesn't say I got into an accident when I was trying to trim the tree and it fell off the ladder or something. It's just like, I can't come Saturday. Like, okay.
Do you want the excuse?
No, I don't want the excuse. I just remember thinking, well, shame on me for asking. Yeah. I shouldn't have never. This is my fault for asking. So I was like, look, I'm in the pro division. I'm probably not going to win anyway. Who cares? So they didn't go, and they never go. And by the way, it's good. Streak alive. 5 Toyota Grand Prix, 0 Corollas.
Look, by the way, I say kudos for calling because I'm always the guy who's like, we've only got a few tickets, and we promised a ticket. I hate it when you're going to get a ticket, and then they don't show up.
Right.
And now somebody's at home going, I really wanted to go. You know, so good
for the
call.
They're thoughtful.
Yeah.
They're thoughtful people.
I appreciate
people.
The call.
So I said, All right. I just like, okay. So then we went. Then I ended up winning the pro division. And it was either the following day, like Sunday, or a week later. I can't remember. But my mom had a come by, make fun of Jon Stewart, talk about bran muffins and see the kids on the schedule. And my mom and John like came by, my mom and my stepdad, and we're like outside by the pool. And she said, like, so how'd the thingy, the, they never, by the way, no one in my family knows what anything is. Like, how'd the car thingy go by the boat there? Like, they don't, like,
just
like,
something going on there.
Yeah. Always, always be like, yeah. What is,
you mentioned a thing and I'm asking the, about it because that's what I'm supposed to do.
The dude show, is that still on the comedy show network? The comedy station? What's that called? Like, literally, like, is the puppet crankers, is that still on the...
The puppet crankers?
That's still on the comedy station?
Yeah.
What is the... What number's the comedy... I was like this one, like you're 4 years in. Like, what number's the comedy station? We don't know what number... John, what number's that? It's like, okay, I'm clearly a huge fan of my work. Like, you don't know what number it is. Like, we don't have cable. Like, but she said something like, what happened with the car thing or something? Yeah. And I said, well, actually, I came back, I ran in the pro division, and I won... And she said, like, Hold on. Let me. John was like getting something out of the car. And she said, hold on. Let's wait for John. Like, John will probably want to know. He's a car guy. He'll want to know about the car thing. And I said, okay. So we like talked about bran muffins for a few minutes. And then like John sat down and my mom went like, so, Dorothy moved up north and she's thinking about writing a children's book. And I was like, oh, we're moving on?
Yeah.
And like, we moved right on, and that was it.
You put in all that bran muffin time for nothing.
And we start talking more about places you could get bran muffins. And that was the end of that. I realized, well, I shouldn't have tried, right?
That's right.
Is that the moral of the story?
Lesson
never
learned.
Try.
You know, you touch a hot stove when you're a kid, you get burnt.
Yeah.
You don't do it ever again.
That's my fault. I'm very intrigued in any human being where you say something like, you know, like they go, how'd you get that black guy? And you go, dirigible accident. They go, oh, man, there you go. And they, next start, they walk away. Like,
wait a minute.
They'll go like, they'll, like, people say to me, like, how do you know Paul Newman? I go, I have his race cars and I race them. I just raced one last weekend. And they go, okay, I'm going to get more Fresca. Do you want a Fresca? And it's like, you have no questions about
right,
racing.
Death of, no follow-up at all.
It's weird because, like, my questions would be like, what do you mean race? Like, is it in a real race or an old-timey race?
And then, you know, there's always that, you know, like on the street, there's always that question.
Can you drive on the street? Yeah.
Yeah.
No follow-up questions with the Corollas.
But maybe mom has a really good bran muffin blog that you don't know about.
Yeah, I may not be following her bran muffin blog. Forza Motorsports 7 on Xbox One, man. Out, it's out now, right?
That game is fantastic.
Exclusively for Xbox One and Windows 10. Collect and race 700 plus cars, man, including Le Mans winning Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. We know about that car with our friend Pete Brock.
Yeah.
Get the Ford GT is seen in my movie, The 24-Hour War. Let's check that out. Gorgeous graphics, 4K resolution, 60 frames per second. 30 famous destinations, including Laguna Seca. We were there not too long ago. Sonoma. We were there not too long ago. Mm-hmm. The aforementioned Long Beach. Man, my parents are camped out. They're in the infield right there. My dad gets the big camper.
He's
got
waiting.
Car cast. He didn't have the car. He didn't have the Winnebago painted, but he had it. He had it wrapped. The car cast logo. He'll be up there drinking his cold ones with his binoculars, shirt off, up top, folding chair, man. He loving it, man. It's a little obnoxious, I gotta say, man. Hey,
it's embarrassing because
you
know? I'm yelling and
I can't breathe. Yeah. You know what I mean? I need my space
it's
over
a little
there.
Smothering.
You know what I mean? I gotta get in the car. I gotta get my head straight. You're telling me all these tips about apexing and I think some downshift. He went and looked at my tack.
He's
like
trying to
help. Like they did in Days of Thunder. Went and pressed the tack memory button. It shot up to 8,500.
I hate it when he does that.
You're over revving this bad boy. Watkins Glen, Monza, Nürburgring. Yep, my dad's on all those legendary tracks. You can buy the digital version, get the Hoonigan car pack featuring our friend Ken Block, man. His 1965 Mustang, the Hoonicorn. You get it for free. Forza Motorsports 7 out now as we speak. We love that about you. All right, Minneapolis Music Hall, Friday. That is coming up October 13th. That's this Friday, right? Also, this Saturday, Polk Theater.
Next week.
Sorry. Wait a minute. Well, wait a minute. Isn't it this?
Yeah, because today is Friday, so next Friday.
Oh, today's Friday. Yeah, yeah. This. Yeah, the next. Right. 14th October, that's Polk Theater in Nashville. Also, me and Dennis Prager, King's Theater, Wednesday, November 29th. You can check that out in the Brooklyn, New York area. And we got live shows everywhere. Bakersfield and Oxnard are coming up. You can also check us out at SEMA, like we said. And you should go to the website and just find out where we're going to be, when we're going to be there, and all that kind of stuff. And you can meet Matt in Irvine, the GT Technique. Is it Technique?
Technique,
sorry. Oktoberfest. That's tomorrow. So get out there, Irvine. Have a cold one. Say hi to our own Matt. Wish him a happy birthday. Had it last weekend.
Have your Newman car out there.
Hell, the Newman cars?
Yeah,
the freshly restored Newman cars out there.
Yep.
My mom, when the truck pulled up, was standing in front of the gate. Like, where's that? Well, that's not going anywhere.
I'm picking her up. She's going with me to the event.
Okay, because the deal is wherever the car goes.
That's the deal.
She's there.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, good.
And you can support the show. Go to carcastshow.com. Click to our Amazon banner and all that good stuff. Follow Matt at Motorator. Facebook us and Twitter us and Instagram us at CarCast Show. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.